I'm here this morning, this is Marilyn Polson, with William Rodney Levins to talk about his experiences and memories on the Hollinswood Ranch. So I know you have some things you want to tell, which is great. One thing you might be thinking about while you're talking about those stories is, you know, I like to know the first, you know, sort of your very first experience with the ranch, and then the changes you've seen, which very well might be in your information. So if we don't hear you talk about it, I'll ask again. How's that?
Well, some of it is close to the first part. I had never really ridden horses much when I started out here. Uh-huh. My cousins had horses, and maybe a couple of times I rode them. But so that was kind of new out here.
And then that was part of the job.
And that was you had to. Part of the job, because we used the horses to round up the cows.
Right.
So one of my experiences was hunting in the south pasture. I was sitting on horseback waiting, listening to the dogs coming, and the deer popped out in the road and stopped. And I throwed up and shot over the top of the horse's head, and when I did, the horse took off, threw me off the back. And as I was going over the back, I guess I tensed and pulled the trigger again on the shotgun, and a tree limb fell out of the tree.
Oh my gosh.
I had my pistol on my belt, which had kind of slid around, and I landed on my back on that pistol. Ended up cracked 3 vertebrae.
Oh, man.
So that was a very painful ordeal there.
Not easy to forget.
No. In the south pasture again, rounding up the cows, lesson learned on tightening up the saddle girth. We were in the improved pasture area and took off across the pasture trying to cut some cows off, and they turned, and when I turned, I just went, the saddle and everything just slid around on the, on the ground I went.
Did the horse keep going then? or did he hang around?
No, the horse stopped.
Oh, good.
And another time doing that same thing, they got some drainage ditches that run across from US 19 onto the property. For mosquito control ditches. Mm. And was running, went down through one of those. I mean, they were, you know, most of the time they didn't have water in them, mm-hmm. but it was a little muddy. So I was going down, we went down through it, and the horse's feet bogged in the mud, and me and the horse went head over heels.
Oh my gosh.
And all I could remember is I kind of looked back and seen the horse. And when I hit the ground, I hit it crawling.
I bet.
Could
have come over on you.
Yeah. I was getting out of the way of that horse.
Oh, man.
So.
Wait, was that after you cracked 3 vertebrae in your
back? That was probably before that happened.
Okay. I just wondered why you'd get off.
Yeah, that was a different time. Sure that I'm okay, did that one. Talked about that. There. Another time down in the south pasture, myself and Dubby Stokes. You remember Dubby?
I know the name.
Okay, Leerl.
Okay.
Was Leerl's brother.
Okay.
Youngest brother.
Okay. Got the
He was the one that helped get me the job with Hollins first.
Mm-hmm.
We went to school together, N.W. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, we were running the traps, trapping hogs. and we caught a 300 to 400 pound boar hog, or barra hog, which is a boar hog that had been cut, castrated.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to go get the front end loader to pick him up out of the trap. So that was that big of a hog.
Man.
Biggest one I'd ever seen. You know, wild hog, that
right,
is.
Right, right. I mean, that would have been dangerous if you had
we
met
shot
up
him.
With him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not in the trap?
Right.
Man.
And, you know, we did a lot of hog hunting back then with the dogs, and we've had several of them get cut, you know, from the tusk.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah. So they can
quite
be
the big
dangerous.
One. Another experience was when Mr. Hollins got his new green truck. The one.
Mr. Hollins being Rip Hollins.
Yes.
Okay.
The green truck that Dixie still has.
Mm-hmm.
We were down in the South Pasture checking feeders, and he had one of his buddies with him from St. Pete. I don't remember who it was at the time. But he had just gotten the truck, and we got stuck. So I ended up having to walk back out of the woods to, I think it was back to the cow pens or somewhere where we had a tractor to get the truck out.
Oh, man. So, yeah, and there's cell phones then that you can
call for help. Oh, yeah, we didn't have them.
Call for help.
Yeah.
Come get us.
Okay. I've always enjoyed when we were working the cows. It was hard work. My horse that I rode was named Cap. And while we were separating cows in the pen, he got hooked by one of them's horn. So after that, you could just back him up to a cow and he'd go to kicking. You know?
Yeah.
He learned what them cows would do. He's going to teach them a lesson. So.
I'll take care of myself.
Yeah. And then we would separate the cows from the calves.
Okay.
And then we'd have to go in and separate the calves, the bull calves from the heifer calves.
Okay.
Well, they told me, all right, we'd walk in the pen and, you know, try to separate them. I said, now, don't touch them on the back. Well, the first thing I did, I walked up in there and I touched one, and I got kicked.
Oh,
here on the
side
of the inside of the leg, upper leg.
Oh man!
So I was very gun shy of getting in the pens with calves after that.
Mm.
I mean, put a bruise like that on me.
Yeah.
And
Wow. That's just a scary spot for them, or do they feel trapped, do you think, or is it just
it's just a reflex, I think, when something touches from behind. Now, you could just walk in there and just kind of push your way in, and it didn't seem to bother, but if you touched them, they'd kick.
Set them off.
And one time, we were working cows in South Pasture, and Dubby again was in the pen with him, and he got kicked right between the eyes on the forehead.
Mm.
It put him on it to his knees.
Yeah, I bet.
And left a big hoof print on his forehead. So.
No concussion?
No, luckily, he was all right. He had to take a break for a little while.
Yeah, I bet.
Let's see. What else we got here? I've always enjoyed the different equipment that they had at the ranch. I always enjoyed running equipment, tractors and things. Come hunting season, the Hollins were always... They were on a deer management program with the state, FWC.
Mm-hmm.
So we would take track counts and nighttime spotlight counts with the FWC biologist, which was Gordon Spratt at the time, and they would calculate those counts with the amount of land that we were hunting on, and then they would tell us how many bucks and how many does we could kill that season.
Mm-hmm.
When Gordon retired, his son Ricky Spratt, which is now the game warden biologist, took his position, and he still works with Dixie on that. We don't do the track counts anymore.
No.
Or the spotlight counts, but Ricky, somehow they've got an idea of what they've got, so
okay.
They can, with the amount of land, he tells us how many bucks and does we can kill each season.
Mm-hmm.
But now we don't have the hunts like we used to. I always enjoyed those because you got to see all the guys that come up, and Dixie and his dad would take turns every other weekend and have their friends as you remember.
Right.
So,
that's right.
Like Mr. Hollins would have his buddies up one weekend,
mm-hmm.
and then the next weekend would be Dixie's buddies come up, which I always enjoyed that so much, getting to meet the guys and then see them every year after that. And, we would, as you know, usually they'd come up on Friday nights,
okay.
and we would either have dinner for them at the ranch, or we would go to a restaurant
mm-hmm.
on Friday night, and then Saturday morning, everybody would meet up at the barn, and we would load them on trucks and take them to whatever area, south pasture or the north end, that we were going to hunt, and put them out on the stands on the morning hunt and have a dog drive.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would pick them up around noontime, bring them back to the big house, which is where Mr. and Mrs. Hollins had stayed when they were up at the ranch. We would feed them lunch. Then in the afternoon, anybody that wanted to target practice or sight their guns in, they'd let them do that for an hour or so. Then about 3 o'clock, we'd meet back at the barn, load them up on trucks, and we'd take them out and put them in the stands, which would hold two or three people in a stand
mm-hmm.
to still hunt. Pick them up. They would stay there until just after dark. We'd pick them back up at dark, bring them back to the big house, clean anything that was killed, and then we would cook dinner for them. Then everybody would go back to wherever their motel room or wherever they were staying.
Right.
And then Sunday morning, meet back at the barn and do it all over again. And then pick them up before lunch, clean the game, feed them lunch. Then Dixie and his dad would hand out the meat that we cleaned and a pack of sausage. Always got a pack of sausage from Dean Priest.
Yep.
And then, let's see.
He's famous for the sausage.
Yes.
I think.
And then when we get all done with that, either Dixie or his dad would say, glad y'all were able to come. He says, but don't let the gate hit you on the way out.
It's time to go.
Yep, it's time to go. So.
So were you happy to see Sunday? You said you loved hunting.
Oh, no, I enjoyed it. I always enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I miss that now.
Do you?
Seeing everybody and getting to hunt.
Yeah.
But it was a good time.
I bet that's been a really significant topic the people in St. Pete that I've interviewed, that was their time here at the ranch,
mm-hmm.
was hunting
right.
season. So The Bartletts, I've talked to Bartletts, and so they all said, you know, we went hunting. We'd do anything to get up there on a Friday night.
Yeah, and I'm sure all of them down there wanted to get out of the city, you know, come up. And, it was always a good time.
I bet. Huh.
So that's all I've got notes on.
Okay.
What else?
What years were you here working at the ranch?
I think it was 1983 when I started.
Okay.
And I worked full-time until 1994, I think. 94 or 95.
Okay.
That was when we...
When the big section was sold?
Sold the main ranch and moved up here.
Right, right.
And then I worked part-time for him and was working part-time at the power plant. So I'd work the outages, get laid off from the outage, I'd come back and work for Dixie.
Oh, well, good.
So
that worked.
So I did that pretty much until I retired completely. I quit working at the plant in 2016. Came back to work for Dixie full time, and in January of 2020, retired. But in it was funny the way I told him was. In January of 2019, I got him off to the side. I said, Dixie, I said, you know how most people, when they retire or leave, they give 2 weeks' notice. I said, I can't do that. I said, I'm going to give you 52 weeks' notice.
So he knew a year ahead of time.
So.
Yeah.
So he had that funny look on his face. But
I know, because I don't think Dixie's ever going to retire.
It doesn't look like it.
When I first started working with Louie, I would tell him all the time over the years, I'm going to retire before you do. And, you know, it turned out he was really pretty much coming into the office until... And his health prevented it a few months before, but not long. I mean, so he did work right up until. Me, I really like being retired.
I haven't regretted it at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me and my wife are doing traveling as much as we can.
Are you? Where have you been recently?
Maine, the north, New England area.
Nice, cool island. So.
We've got a trip we're planning right now for June of this year to the West Coast. We'll fly to Seattle, meet up with our Blue Green Resorts that we bought into.
Oh.
It's kind of like a timeshare, but it's not a timeshare.
Uh-huh.
And we'll meet up with a group there, get on a tour bus, and come down the West Coast to San Francisco.
Oh, that's such a beautiful drive.
And meet up with my sister-in-law and brother-in-law and do Yosemite and Sequoia National Parks for a few days. And then we'll go on to Las Vegas, meet up with my wife's uncle and his wife from California and her cousins from Ocala, and spend 4 or 5 days in Vegas doing, you know, the...
What you do in Vegas.
Grand Canyon and then
right.
Hoover Dam and tours and things. Stuff like that.
Nice. Oh, that sounds like fun. I don't blame you.
Looking forward. You got any other questions that you can think of? Or?
The changes. I mean, what from the time period or even to now that you see as the biggest change?
Well, with the ranch.
Affecting the...
It kept shrinking when they started leasing land to the mine. So,
what a good way to put that.
They started, you know, getting rid of cows because they had leased out a big chunk of the land for the mining company. So with that, you know, that was a big change there.
The canal was already dug.
Yeah, that was long before my time.
Yeah. And of course, Solar Power was there. So,
I would like to have been out here back before all that, from what I've heard, you know, stories.
I would have too.
So,
love to have seen, seen it then. So, I like the rescue stories. I mean, do you did you have to go out and, like, when you had to pull the pickup truck, the green truck out somewhere that, how did you find someone? If they, you know, if they got stuck in, like, you got a phone call or something, was it hard to, this is a lot of land.
Well,
you know?
And it is, or was, always, because I rode around a lot on the ranch. You know, just either checking fence lines or just checking on the cows or whatever. So I learned the area pretty good. You know, you could, I think you could put me out someplace, drop me off, and just looking around a little bit up and down a road, I would, I pretty much know where I was at. I did get stuck on the tractor one time in South Pasture. That was before cell phones, and I did have a handheld radio, and I got stood up on top of the tractor and held the radio up as high as I could and was able to finally get through to the office and had them get a hold of Atlas Huff, which my cousin, but he worked at the power plant, and he had worked out here as a kid. And they got word to him to on his way out to come down there and help me get out. So
pull you out, was, or at least rescue you. So,
well, I've been stuck many times and had to call for help.
Yeah,
actually, right up here on the. This property, back on the power lines, got the big tractor and the bush hog stuff back there. So,
can you tell me anything about, this was something Bill Bartlett said, ask you or Dixie, and I actually didn't think of it yesterday, but I'll certainly talk to Dixie again, to tell me of anything about Twig. And
there's Twig there. I'm not sure when he started working for the family as their cook. I enjoyed working with him here in the kitchen, you know, because I would help with the cooking all the time ever since I started out here when we would have the deer hunts. We would fry the venison and, you know, but Twig would show up on, I think he would show up on Friday afternoon, and he would usually, well, in the beginning he could drive, so he'd drive himself, but then toward the end, he'd have to have one of his relatives, grandson or somebody, would drop him off out here. And then he would just stay here at the shop. He'd sleep on the couch in Dixie's office. Yeah. But he was a character. but I really enjoyed working with him. I don't know what else to say there.
He was a good cook.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was a good cook.
Yeah.
I had never eaten raccoon before, but I had killed them and for him. And one time I went out in the evening at the ranch and Dixie let me, and I killed 14.
Oh my goodness.
And when Twig got there the next day, I told him, I said, I got you something here. And I opened up the freezer, and the whole freezer is just full of them. But I said, I just want to ask you one thing. I said, I got one request. I said, I want to try it. When you cook some, mm-hmm. I want to try it. So he brought me some, and it was okay.
Yeah.
It's real dark, kind of greasy meat, but I'd always wanted to try it, so he brought it some. So
I was going to say, I didn't even know you could eat raccoon. But I mean,
a lot smaller. A lot of black people would eat them.
I didn't know that.
But he liked those. I'd bring him some squirrels every now and then.
Help supply him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, and I think I was only here as Dixie's guest one hunting weekend. I mean, I know, you know, we came up a lot to work, but so I saw all of, you know, all that was going on at the around the barn, and just all those people and all the coordination it took.
And Dixie and his dad were really gracious to do what they did over the years.
Oh my goodness, yes.
With so many people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of people say, well, what does he charge, you know, to come out there and do that? I said, well, it was all his friends. I said, he never charged them nothing.
No.
So, no. Yeah.
He was hosting.
Yeah.
And Mr. Hollins, I know, you know, we followed that same pattern of it's his friends. He invited them.
Yeah.
And
they enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So much.
That's the truth. Everybody really enjoyed it. Yeah. So did you miss it when you retired? Or
I do a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I don't miss the getting up every morning and having to be someplace. But I do. Like I said earlier, I love running all the different equipment that we had out here.
Mm-hmm.
I've always enjoyed equipment. I miss the hunting and getting with all the guys every year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, the people. I mean, because you just suddenly you stop seeing people you've seen every year for years.
Yeah, and we can thank that to COVID. That's when it all stopped, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Put a halt to it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Everything else, we all sat inside as much as I could get out.
Oh, another story.
Okay.
If I can get it right. In the beginning, when I was new out here, Dixie had his hunting dogs. Well, they had an old bloodhound named Rodney. And we were hunting, and I come by. I think it was Bruce Bartlett. I was on horseback, and I had just was getting to know these guys then. And they said, "You seen Rodney?" I said, "Well, that's me." They said, "No, the dog."
So
did he turn up?
So they've joked about that for years.
I bet they have. Yeah.
And then we had an old blue tick that during the morning hunt didn't show back up. So we had to pick everybody up, and usually we'd just, you know, leave them out, and they would either come back in on their own, or, you know, we'd ride around a little bit before putting the people out in the evening hunts, and they'd be walking the roads by then. They'd be tired out. So, anyhow, this one still hadn't showed up. This was a big old blue tick hound, and it was at the backfield, which is a hunting plot, and the couple that was sitting in that stand that evening, I don't remember who it was a man and woman, they kept hearing this dog whining and making noises. So they got down out of the stand and went down the fence line, and he'd gotten hung in the fence.
No.
So they got him out of the fence, and they babied him, you know, until they got picked up that evening. Well, that dog just, you know, from then on got babied.
Oh.
You know.
Forever.
Yeah.
So. Was he hurt? I mean, certainly I'm scratched.
He didn't have any broke bones or anything. Yeah. It just was, you know, his leg maybe was skinned up from being in the tangled in the wire and all, but he was okay. He got okay, but everybody just babied him after that. So
he got a lot of attention.
He wasn't much of a hunting dog after that.
No, I'm going to be rescued.
Yeah.
Please come get me. Well, it's lucky they found him.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, you could easily be lost and nobody hear you, I guess.
Yeah. What else?
Any special stories about the cows other than touching the back of a cow and getting kicked? Anything?
Well, you had mentioned that Bill had talked about having to go out in the woods and pull calves. I remember having to do that once. Which wasn't a pleasant job. but got through it. The calf had died.
Oh.
So we had to take it out in pieces.
Ugh.
So,
yeah.
That I've always remembered that story.
Yeah, so, that would be.
Didn't have any other cases that I remember, that I can remember, maybe one, maybe two others that we had to pull calves over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I know the old Brahma bulls and Brahma cows that they had back in the beginning, they were some ornery cows and bulls.
They were different than the others?
The old white Brahmas that had the humps?
Yeah.
But they actually,
they
were mean.
They
were mean. Yeah.
Oh.
They'd catch you if they could. I remember, I think me and Bill was out. We were checking cows in the mornings. We always rode around during calving season and, ride around through all the cows, make sure if we had any newborn calves from overnight, we would try to catch the calf.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was a bull calf, we would cut it right there, you know, and let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill got out there, and this one old cow, she come after Bill, and he had to take off running and jump the fence, get away from her. And I've had to jump in the back of the truck to get away from them before. They could be ornery, especially when you're messing with their calves.
Yeah, I'm sure that's
as soon as that calf rode a squalling, carrying on. You know, they're coming to the rescue.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's funny that that particular breed is so much meaner than
Yeah, I think
the others that just kind of go along.
Born into them.
Yeah, I think it must be a character trait that there.
So.
You worked with Dixie a lot of years over then.
30 plus years.
Wow.
Yeah. Always enjoyed it. I mean, it was... Dixie could be Dixie sometimes, but he would do anything for you.
Uh-huh.
He would help you if you needed help.
Yeah.
And, been a good friend all the time, all the years.
What a great thing. I'm always afraid to turn this off because it seems like as soon as I do, then someone, the person starts talking about another event. But don't feel, this has been great. So. I don't feel like you have to drag anything else out. If you're good. I hope we'll have a really nice written history of the ranch when I get finished.
The county economic development agency would have their big weekly fundraiser each year, and Dixie and his dad would host it, the Thursday at evening barbecue fundraiser at the ranch. And we would have, they'd have a band out there. They provided the facility there at the barn, the old barn. And there would be several hundred people there, and they'd have a band playing and have guys that would be out in the barbecue shed, they'd cooking all day for it. So that was always a good time there. And they're still having that.
Oh, are they?
I don't remember if Dixie had any up here once we moved up here. I know the M&E Dairy out in Lecanto now hosts it every year.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's changed names. It was the Citrus County 2020. And then it went to economic development. I'm not sure what it's called now, but they're continuing that. So that was another thing that Dixie and his dad always did there at the ranch.
Yeah, so. Supported those. I mean, that's quite an undertaking to have that many guests, even when you have room. I mean, if you're talking about feeding them all.
It's been a couple of days. Cleaning up the place and getting it all spruced up,
And then having to do it all over again once everybody left.
And clean up afterwards.
Did you get called out much at night? Or did you not?
Only a couple of times when Dixie would get a call that we had maybe some cows out on the highway or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go round them up, get them back in.
So how did they, it's all fenced, how did they manage getting out there on the road?
Well, either the fence would be a bad spot that got rusty or a tree could have fell on it, mashed it down. And we'd have to
trample over it.
To find the spot, try to get them back in, either at that spot or go down the fence line until we got to one of our gates.
So you're herding them out on the road, really. I mean, to get them to where you can get them back.
There we'd usually just use the trucks, we'd
Right.
Herd them along the fence line until right. we get where we could get them in.
So. Yeah. A lot of things you, unless you've done it, that people wouldn't think of normally. Yeah. But they go along with managing a ranch.
Yeah.
That ranch.
All part of it, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's all interesting. I like hearing about it. So I think you're the only person I've talked to that worked both when the ranch, before they started selling to the mining company in the state, and then continued to work up here at the north side of the.
Yeah, I think Bill left when they sold the main ranch.
Okay.
He left then.
Uh-huh.
And so yeah, I continued to work up here. I was working part time,
right?
You know, here in the at the power plant.
So right.
Then,
so, right.
Yeah.
So you saw that? I mean, big change as far as size.
Yeah. I hated it when they had to sell it, you know, and I know it had to, you know, be a devastating to Dixie and have to drive by it every day, you know, coming up here. And now to see the way they're letting the pastures grow up in weeds. And we used to keep it manicured.
It was pristine.
All around. Under the oak trees out there was always mowed.
Mm-hmm.
Along the highway was mowed. We kept it nice looking.
It was beautiful. I mean,
it bothers me to see it.
I bet.
You know.
I bet it
like
does.
It is the way we used to keep it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just not the same. It doesn't look the same at all.
Nope.
Different. And I guess now the new portion of the Veterans, is it still the Veterans Expressway up here or Suncoast
Parkway?
Whatever. Yeah. Is I heard gonna come out
somewhere up
like right
on the other side of the barge canal.
Yeah.
Between there and the red level traffic
right,
light,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where they're planning that. That's going to be a few years yet before it gets that far. Because it's at 44 now, and then it goes from 44 to 486.
Okay.
And then from 486 to 495, which is Citrus Avenue. And then from Citrus Avenue to 19. So
it'll be a few years.
Yeah.
But still, it's going to make, you know, just put that much more traffic out on where it empties out.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll keep it out of town, though, a little bit, and it won't be so trafficy there. I don't know. You think I dare?